Welcome to Ever Beyond, 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 on Wolf Spirit Radio, Ever Beyond Radio, and Tir na Sao in Ireland. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, beyond. Please join us in the chat room at www.wolfspiritradio.com/listen. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio. Good day, good afternoon, good morning, good evening. Welcome to wherever you are on or off this planet. Apparently we're big in Alpha Centauri, so hi to all the guys out there. And welcome to Ever Beyond. Today it's the fifth month. No, it's the fifth week of the month, the fifth Sunday of the month. And as is my new tradition that I've only instituted this very year, on the fifth Sundays, I have some round tables with beings who I call the luminaries of the now. Those shining stars who've got something to say, who've got some contribution to make. And we have, today we have two men and two women, because I've had all girls or all boys, all men or all women, and everybody's going, oh, you went, so I said, right, okay, here we go. Let's do some union. So here we are. This is our first divine union. Equally balanced. We have, in the female corner, Shari Edwards and Jessica Morocco. And in the gentleman's, room, over there, is Michael Graham and Wynne Keach. Good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Sounds like we're lining up for a fight.
That's right. And
get your dukes up, as we say in England.
That's right. Hang on. Where's me ding? There we go. Rinse seconds out. Round one. No, this is the opposite bell. This is the meditation bell. This is the bell that brings us all together. I've been talking for many years about the gathering, and I've never really understood what the gathering was, but it's like my guides say, oh, it's the gathering. And, you know, you see all these movies, what is it, Highlander, you know, it was the time of the gathering and all that stuff. And there's a kind of sense that there's something going on. And what I've realized, the gathering is that the people who have been split up and divided, you know, amongst different peoples, are all starting to come together. So what I'm seeing in my own little group here is the people who who are self-identified as Pleiadian and Lyran, and beginning to get together. And what happens when these people start to get together is quite magical. You know, when the two or three are gathered in my name kind of thing, it's very exponential. And maybe some of you on this panel can maybe explain why that might be happening. But anyway, where shall I start? I've got you lined up here. So I'd like to first of all introduce Shari Edwards. And Shari, would you like to kind of start with your foray into this idea? I know you've got lots of ideas about how to help people relate, and you know you actually have an understanding of relating that a lot of people don't have. You know, the thing about the teenagers growing up and having their own frequency and et cetera and stuff. So do you want to talk, you know, in terms of frequency, how do we make the world better?
Wow, what a question.
Yes, a question to start with.
of divine union.
Yeah.
Well, I'm of the belief that we all have a signature sound, and that sound is a combination of every frequency in our body and every nerve cell and every brain cell and our pancreas, everything runs as a frequency, and you can measure that. We turned it into song as part of our society. So I think when you meet somebody that has your missing note of your song or has a missing frequency, then you're going to be attracted to them. And when somebody has too much of a note that you already have, then you can't stand to be in the same room with them. And you try to make up these reasons why, and it really doesn't make any rhyme or reason to you. It's like a magnet attracts its opposite pole to fill in the gaps. There are some songs that only have a few notes of C, and then another song that is an overabundance of C. And those two songs together sort of complement each other. And as we each have our own set of signature sounds and or otoacoustic emissions, if you want to be on the scientific side of it, I think we're just here to try to balance that. And if you're a plus two and I'm a minus two, we're a great pair. But if I'm a plus two and you're a plus four, and I'm making that up, then you're not going to be attracted toward my energy. So if we see people rather than personality but frequencies, and then those frequencies can turn around and be discerned or correlated with specific personality traits, that might be how we see ourselves as a society. But really, we're just very sophisticated robots running on frequency that attract and repel each other. How's that?
Very deterministic, though. But yeah, I see your point is that we have a these systems that are going on below our level of consciousness that we, you know, we bounce off people magnetically, like you're saying. So sorry, Wynn, I jumped right in. So do you want to continue this, Wynn? Go on.
I was going to ask a question. Yes, since basically this entire universe only consists of information and energy. And yes, consciousness energy flows very analogously to sound. But of course it means that any kind of energy with any kind of information or frequency to it will interact with us. So, I've always been drawn very powerfully to music, and I know you have, JB. We've had big parts of our life when we've worked with music, creative music. And it seems like a life energy. It's like a life force. I'm an old rock dinosaur, as you probably know, and, the energy from it is phenomenal. And it occurred to me that the actual natural tones of all the notes have been changed. And I'm wondering if that was done on purpose by the dark side to remove the natural energy and the natural frequency from sound in music. Hello?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's an interesting question. It's certainly something that I've done quite a bit of research on. And now there are disputers. There's a particular listener who always disputes it, but I'm a Pythagorean myself. And Pythagoras came up with the idea that there is a harmonic relationship between all things that is geometric and is that's all based on the frequency of carbon as 12, and that's 432 hertz as opposed to 440. And that was done by, definitely the dark side. If Joseph Goebbels was the dark side, yeah, that's them. So there was definitely an intervention there to, and the effect it has is making everybody slightly tense. Basically,
yes,
just very slightly tense.
Yes, so it would create discord, it would create tension and stress, and the frequencies that create negative energy.
In all the years where we've been collecting vocal prints from people, and it's 31 years now, if the notes that they have are in harmony, it really doesn't matter where they started. 431, 432, 436. Everybody has their own. And I know music needs to be cohesive, so one musical instrument plays with the other and this band plays with that band. But as far as the individual person goes, everybody has their own scale. And I agree with JP that, yes, it's very built on Pythagorean harmonics, just like nature. But think of the difference between you go out in nature and it's very harmonic. All the pieces are harmonic. And you go in the city and all the pieces of sound are very chaotic. So looking at each person individually, if there's something harmonic, if they are harmonic in all of their frequencies, they usually are very disease-free and very happy and elated. So I'm not musically inclined at all. We didn't have music in the one-room schoolhouse where I went, so it was something very foreign to me until we got bused to the local high school when I was in my teens. So I can't relate to music, but I certainly can relate to the music of a human, their voice, the frequencies they put off, their otoacoustic emissions. So why do people go back and insist that it needs to be 432 or 440 or whatever? My question is big. What difference does it make?
My answer to that would be, what is the natural background frequency of the nature of the planet? In the same way that we're connected to the Schumann frequency of the energetics of the planet, then the planet and nature have their own natural harmonic frequencies, which we should be in tune with, which is really what you were saying about the city. And also the ley line system, the standing stones. If you go to the Dragon Project, you know that they actually produce sound frequencies themselves. So all these frequencies are in our background and in our environment, and it's a question of we have the ability to tune as a human to whatever our frequency is, but what is the natural background, and shouldn't we be tuning into that to connect more with nature?
Does that change in different parts of the planet, or does it change with different projects? The Dragon...
Not that I'm aware of. The Schumann frequency certainly, although it is actually changing as a whole, it is uniform across the planet. So the natural rhythm of the planet is uniform. So you would expect that to be the underlying frequency that all the harmonics of nature are driven from.
When I went to London, I didn't need my glasses at all. And London to me was a frequency of the note of A. It was a deep blue. A lot of their cars is this special deep blue. And I went to Easter Island and the note there was the note of E. So how is it that different parts of the planet on their, I don't even have a question here. To me, different parts of the planet have different frequencies and different notes. And even different parts of the city have different notes.
I think those are local effects. I know certainly London is such an artificial environment. And it's a horrible energy. As a city, I could not abide to be there. I was once invited to live there many years ago. I could not stay there for more than a week. There is no amount of anything you could ever cajole me, pay me, or in any way force me to live in that environment. It is so disharmonious in terms of its assault upon your spirit.
Well, can I jump in and talk about the rays, which is essentially the frequencies of the personality of the place, the spirit of the place. Everything has a frequency and everything has a spirit. You know, everything, there's a soul behind everything. Everything has its personality, so there's like the effect of the soul in on matter. And certainly this is something that really varies across it, that each town has a soul, and I imagine that each village, you know, each little village has its own character. That is the soul of it. So it has a frequency. And London, as you say, well, I resonate pretty well with the note of A. I used to be in a band, and we played in London. We were called the Mystery School. And for the first 5 minutes of the show, I would play a continuous A. I would just let this note just build up and build up and build up, on a kind of feedback loop. I can certainly relate to London being an A. And, in terms of the rays, The Nota Bene's Ray 2, which would be the ray of the soul of Britain. So, if that makes any sense at all, that's my little bit. But I would also like to bring in our other halves of the quadrants of this foursome here. Over in Boston, in Massachusetts, is Jessica Morocco. Now, you're not a musician, but you do tune in using your sensorium. I don't know what. There's no word for the thing that mediums mediate with, is there? But anyway, Jessica Morocco, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Yeah, there's a lot of things that are crossing my mind as I'm listening to Sherry and Wynn discuss the topic of frequency. And there's so many things that are essentially organic, what should be happening on our planet without any artificial interference. And yet I believe that we are affected by, you know, potentially scalar, and I won't say potentially, I'm pretty confident that we are, and other artificial sounds that are now interfering with an already complex sensory world. And so from my perspective, people tend to go into a space, you know, like if you were in a more rural setting and then you enter a city, that there is an adjustment. You have to make some kind of adjustment just to allow yourself to feel comfortable in your body being in that space. And it's really hard to put a finger on. It's just that uneasy feeling, and then the body starts to adjust it. Now, the question to me is what is this doing to our physical bodies? How is this affecting our spiritual nature and the way that our mind operates? Because we are bombarded constantly by different types of frequencies. And of course, you know, you're discussing the ones that can be calculated and assessed. And what about the ones that, you know, are not actually measured as of yet? You know, the dog can hear a sound that we can't. And there's other different levels of sounds, even just, you know, within the telepathic field that people are conveying to one another. So I don't know if this is, you know, the next step in the conversation, but, you know, I would like to think that we were all, you know, just reset it and we are back to our natural format and we're all in this frequency. We're just learning to enjoy and adapt and things are wonderful and sound. But then the artificial aspect of it.
If you would consider that everyone has a frequency that they're trying to balance, and if somebody needs to be with that person to balance them, or needs to rob a bank to balance them, or whatever they need, and we're all trying to make this pattern, this song that we have, we're all trying to make it perfect. But perfect would be zero mathematically or electrically, and we'd spontaneously combust. That would be perfection, and we wouldn't be here. And I just looked this up. People who do mediumship, their A and A sharp changes from a lower octave almost to a high fantasy or godlike octave. So the A and A sharp changes. I have this big library of vocal prints, so I just looked that up because I was curious. I never looked it up before. Does that help answer your question, JP?
Well, I mean, I'd love you to do some measurements on Jessica one day, if with your permission, because I found Jessica one of the most clear mediums that I've ever met. She's got a lot of, actually what I'd like you to talk about, Shari, is the thing about telling the truth and about these two frequencies, the E and the B flat, the relation with truth, because this is something that is for all of us right now. We need to know truth? How do we measure truth? Can you measure it?
Well, it looks like you can, and I will bring up my little program here. It's called Nano Voice, and for anyone listening, they can get this free from our site. It's soundhealthoptions.com under downloads. And what JP is talking about is we look at people's voices in tune with do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. How many of this note do they have and how many of that note? We take 500 samples and 42 is about normal. And I'm going to unhook my microphone and I'll do some of Jessica's voice. But as an aside here, I want to ask her a question later about how she tunes in. But when we are talking about something that is stressing us and we don't want to tell the truth about it, E represents the oxygen of the body, the lungs, the diaphragm. And A sharp represents the soul of the body. Now, this is for most people. And there are charts there. When you download the software, you can download the charts too. And when that A sharp and E as the amount of notes or the color of the notes don't match, then you're not telling the truth, or sometimes it's withholding information. So your soul and your words must match, and then people perceive you as telling the truth. But if you have a lot of notes missing, people know you're not telling the truth. They just don't know how they know, and they don't have enough strength of their own convictions sometimes to even confront you with it. Or if the octaves are different, like we're looking at, let's say the note of E in two octaves below middle C, and then their A sharp is two octaves above middle C. That means they want this to be the truth, but it isn't. It must match on the octave, and it must match the same amount of hits, or pretty similar. Does that help? We have a lot of examples of this on our site. The guy that was molesting small children, I can't remember his name, at Penn State, Jerry Sandusky. You can see a lying vocal print there. You can go look at Chris Christie's vocal print and see that he was not lying about Bridget. Here's a big one. Benghazi, Hillary Clinton and Obama both were lying about Benghazi and the film. So you can go look at examples on the website and see where the voice, which is a holographic representation of all that you are, and I think it's a representation of your brain, your body, your needs, your what you just ate for the day, if that doesn't match and isn't in harmony, then that representation of you shows you're not in harmony either by what you're thinking about or what you just ate or whatever is going on in your world. And that was too long of a answer.
Yeah, but surely these are just aspects, you know, small aspects of the human robot, the human body, that really was so much more than just a machine in an energy field. My concern with the cities is the artificiality of the energy and how it is kind of an imitation of natural energy. When I see people in cities, they age faster, they have more stress, they have more illness, they seem to be less capable of thinking, they seem to be less capable of stretching themselves spiritually. So I think that the artificial energy field of cities is somehow designed to put them in this constriction, to keep them under control so that they cannot actually be a fully functioning human in some respects.
I did not hear a word that Wen said because I took off my headphone and I let the computer analyze.
She was just measuring you, Wen, rather than listening to you. I forgot to warn everybody, that's what Sherry does. She'll be measuring you while you're talking to her. Everybody else is listening.
Funny.
I won't be held responsible for breaking her machine.
I agree with what Wynn said. That is exactly what I was saying earlier. Sorry, Sherry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
What did you cut me off about?
I was just responding to Wynn. Since you didn't hear what he said earlier, I was just responding to
what I was saying is we were talking about, you know, how the cities affect people versus nature. And I've chosen to live out in nature. I live in a beautiful part of northern England here, very sparsely populated, beautiful coast, beautiful moorland, beautiful hills and forests. Because I find I cannot integrate into a city environment. The energetics of it, the spirit of it, if you like, is artificial, and it is irritating to me as a spiritual being. And I see how it affects people around me, and it's almost dehumanizes them. It partially makes them into robots. It changes their views. It changes their health. It changes their ability to operate in a full format as a human. And it just seems to me that cities seem purposely designed to do this.
Indeed. And cities indeed. I think that, Michael, do you live, you were showing me pictures of New York before. You're not far from the city, are you?
Hi.
Good afternoon. Michael Graham, everybody.
Thank you. No, I'm not far from the city at all. I actually live on the outskirts. I choose to live here for similar reasons that Wynn mentioned, because of the sensitivity I have and because of the energies that are rampant in most major cities, especially New York City, in the epicenter of a lot of things. I've been listening quietly to everyone, and I agree with what everyone says. You know, there is the difference in frequency depending on where you go. And I believe, just like Wynn said, I believe it's a matter of local effect, and also what Jessica mentioned, because of the bombarding of all sorts of energies, whether it be artificial or cosmic. I think the different frequencies, and depending on who you are and where your consciousness most regularly resides, will guide you, I think, to where you're most comfortable. And for people who are tuned in or mediums or of a higher frequency, I guess on an average basis, that will tend to take them away from major cities, move them into nature, where there's more harmony and you can be closer to the earth frequency. That's my view.
Yeah, I'm completely with that. And I've also noticed in studying people in cities, just observing them, that there is a process of entrainment. So when they go into these lower or artificial frequency modes, when they think materialistically and they just think about the 9-to-5 job and the stress of getting on the tube and all this kind of thing, they all become entrained. They all synchronize like pendulum clocks in a shop. When they all start to swing at the same time, they get into march step. People's psyche seems to get into march step also in cities, so that they think it's normal. It's normalized that they can all lie to one another and steal from one another and attack one another and have, you know, what I would consider, you know, a sort of an artificial psychopathy running through the whole lot of them. And that's how I see it, looking from the outside in, because I've kind of synchronized to a more natural spiritual aspect. So when I see people, I find it very abrupt. The way they think is to me quite shocking. It's so negative and so dark compared to the way a natural human thinks.
I completely agree. Sorry, go ahead.
I do too. You brought up this aspect of more, and they're working to get more, and this idea of a bigger, better house and more money and more prestige, and that concept, I think, is what's throwing a lot of people off. So I think we should maybe get rid of that word more.
Yes.
I see that a lot in New York City, actually. Just wanted to say that real quick. You know, I totally agree with you. I reflect this same thing in an everyday excursion into the city where I go for work, and I see the abrupt. I see the day-to-day rat race, got to get mine kind of attitude. But I've also seen a major energy shift. I've also seen a shift in polarity, even where people are more open-hearted in the most unexpected places, and the spiritual mindset does enter even the most closed-minded of forums. So I've seen a shift.
That's good news.
Yeah, I've seen a lot. Yeah, I grew up in the Boston area. I grew up 10 minutes away from Harvard Square and the Cambridge area, which is very close to MIT. The frequency and the energy is very odd, very, very strange in that area. And it's very distinct because I would be in the suburbs, and there was, kind of a feeling of serenity. I mean, we had enough trees and the environment was somewhat natural. And then there's this point where it cuts off and you know it. I mean, you could have a blindfold on and you can tell the difference as soon as you start driving. You don't have to be hyper psychic to experience it. You kind of know that you're edging towards the city. And, when I used to go on the train and head into Boston, downtown Boston area, which was another 15 minutes and that march step that Wynn referred to was very distinct. I know exactly what he's talking about. People, it's almost like it's programmed where people are looking straight ahead, like a horse that has the blinders on, and they're walking almost in some kind of set time. You know, you can almost see a pattern, and they're walking or they're aligning with the others. Now, I don't know. I always wondered, was that a natural occurrence where they, human nature does this in a social environment where you have all these people and then they start to emulate each other or kind of get into order. I don't know if that was like something that was learned as a child, but now that you're bringing it up, it's making me think about it. So a lot of these things are very, very, interesting, but yes, the frequency I think is the dictator of what actually is happening.
I've done all three of your voices while you were talking, and you have a commonality. You all have F very high, and that represents the balance between perception and action, which is exactly what we're talking about on the show. I could send those to you, JP, if you want, through Skype, or post them up here.
Just tell everybody. Everybody loves being read, you know, especially people who read. I mean, just give Jessica a nice reading. You know, tell her what she's brilliant. Tell her how brilliant she is.
When else?
She loves to accomplish and see the results of that accomplishment. She can talk well. She could be a teacher. She could be a technical teacher. Or any kind of teacher that she wanted to be. Let me ask the computer what it's going to say about her. She can see the flaws in any kind of project. You love new ideas and mean that there's a project to work on. Your highest note is associated with the integration of appropriate perception and action. I'm just reading off the computer. This is something anybody could download. You can assess a situation quickly. Your highest note deals with the expression through words, both written and oral. The world of creative self-expression resides with this note, and you do a lot of that. Also associated with the expression of duty to work and accomplishment. Is that how you were brought up? And
I'm
that
a
last question was my, a Capricorn is an A, and your notes are mainly Leo and Virgo.
Interesting.
So, what you were only talking about, one little thing. You get satisfaction of being able to help others find and correct their pathways. You have the ability to use words very creatively. You have the ability to inspire people using stories and demonstrations. As a natural leader, you sometimes get stuck with more than your share of work. You wish for the best when sometimes lead to statements of hope instead of statements of fact. You can easily be distracted from carrying out your plan by a more exciting project. So that's what the computer said. Now, I'd go in and say that you have this ability and need to help others improve things, make things better. Let me look at your numbers.
Yeah, technically people come to me because they have a problem and they want me to help them with that. So I guess that's how I'm wired now, to
to be on very, very focused on how I can help them at that moment.
Very little ego here in any of you guys. But I didn't do JP, but the rest of you.
I've got enough ego for everybody.
Where Jessica is very, do accomplish and make things better. The two males are very spontaneous. They love those F and F sharp. It's also lower back, and it's male sensuality with Wynn. He has a lot of A, so there has to be a lot of spirit in whatever he does. And I didn't write down what he was talking about, but these are very, very topic specific, and just, you could talk about anything, very spontaneous, both Michael and Wynn. Lots of G, which means that you want things to be physically useful and supportive of other people. I can send these, the printouts, to JP after the show if you'd like.
Yeah,
but
sure.
You can also download the thing yourself and, you know, and nobody gets to hear what you've said. The computer doesn't remember what you said. So you can tell it your deepest, darkest secrets.
Only Sherry will know.
Thank you.
I won't even know. I won't even know because the computer doesn't keep any of the words. It just keeps the sound. But I didn't mean to get off in that. I just been doing this all day with some of our political situation here in the U.S., so that's why it was.
I bet you haven't found a B flat in the whole all afternoon.
I was going to say, did you find that they're actually alive?
B flat was the soul note, by the way. Yeah.
I found out that today and yesterday, Hillary has shifted from intellectual, my way or the highway, to being very scared. So that's a big clue.
Yeah, well, that's all in the press.
Yeah. But it shows up in her voice. Never have I ever seen her have blue in her voice. It's always been very much in control with yellow.
Do you want to describe what the different colors do? What the different colors mean, Sherry? Because you said blue is what? I know you see it every day, so you know what it means. But blue means
blue
what?
Blue is emotion. Instead of just explaining what this is, I'll just give you a scenario of what happened. I have a lot of the note of D missing almost always. No matter what I'm talking about, my note of D is in the pits. And my husband has a lot of the note of D. And that's Gemini, and it's orange, and it's self-approval. And my husband's father died. And when he did, and he was a Gemini, my husband's note of D, and we'd been married for like 30 years at that point, my husband's note of D disappeared, and I couldn't stand to be in the same room with him. I couldn't stand him to say good morning to me. I just nearly hated his voice and his being. And I thought, this is just crazy. You know, we've been together for a lot of years, and I did our voices. Neither one of us had the note of D. We couldn't stand each other. So we invited one of our grandchildren over that was a total note of D, and then everybody got along. So that's the kind of thing that you can use these little evaluations for. And it's fun. But if it's this job or that job or this date or that date or I'm really thinking about doing this, and you can talk to this little computer program and it'll tell you what's going on. Red is spontaneity, and both Wynn and Michael have a lot of that in their voice, especially when it comes to solving problems. Yellow is intellect, blue is emotion, and green is do and accomplish. And that's Jessica's major mode of operation. But there's all kinds of charts and all that on the website, that soundhealthoptions.com. And we teach people to do this. We want everybody to do it. And this is going to create a problem, because if there are no secrets, if everybody had to tell the truth, what kind of world would we be? I think there would be more divine union. But
I actually lived that life for 6 years. My first love was a telepath. She died some years ago. But for 6 years, I lived with a very powerful telepath. And living in that environment, you are completely open. And that is your natural mode of existing and living and communicating, is to be open and completely honest, because you are completely transparent to that person. and completely connected. And I think we've lost that in the world. And I know JP remembers this from his Lyran time. And that's really what the planet needs. It needs to live in that mode of thought, I think.
In the beginning, because we revere privacy, in the beginning, it's a bit... And you have to be very thin-skinned to pick up, very thick-skinned to handle it. If they're going to say, well, you look really ugly today, or, you know, something like that. You have to be able to know where they're coming from with it. But if people, if everybody had to be honest, our legal system would fall apart. A lot of marriages, most corporations, if they had to tell the truth and they couldn't spin everything. And that's why we give away this program. So you can test people's voice to see where they're really coming from and if they're balanced or unbalanced. In the evaluations between Michael and Wynn, Michael is much more hold back and not tell everything, where Wynn is just out there, whatever is going on from his topic, and I don't remember it. But he's more open of allowing people to know him, where Michael has several notes missing, which means it was not a topic that was emotionally significant for him, or he's just going to keep that bit to himself. When we teach... Well, go ahead.
I just had a question, and I'm glad you brought it up, because it was specific to that actual topic. So... short of inviting grandchildren over, which I would not be able to do at this point in my life, how does one actually fix or introduce the missing notes? Is it even possible? Would one want to do that? Is that something you
with
can tell
music?
Us?
With music or color? The colors that you have missing are purples and burgundies, and shades of red and gold. You have a lot of yellow, a lot of green, a lot of cyan, greenish blue kind of color. But again, it's the topic. If you're talking about something else, it might be different. We teach this to people in the hopes of a better world. We want everybody to be able to do this, and that's why we do it for free, and that's why we give the software away for free. And I want JP's audience to know that the next class is the fourth and fifth. They could go on our site and look under classes. But we provide you the software. We provide you 2 days of class to learn to do it, totally free, just because we want more transparency. But we also realize that with that, well, like my mom said, the truth will set you free, but first, it will make you miserable. So just my rose-colored wish for a better world.
Well, Terry, you know, we really appreciate that wish. And, you know, you must have those colors about, like, doing something as well, eh?
Yeah, I'm mostly green.
Mm-hmm.
And Get it done.
What did you say I was? Oh, you haven't measured me, have you?
I haven't measured you.
No.
If we ever give you a chance to talk,
nobody ever wants to listen to what I have to say. Ah, you should have got me at the beginning. So, yes, it's live. Yes, we are live. This is Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio, a very listener-supported, very station. Here in, I'm in Scotland. Colleen is in Indiana. We do it half and half in the week. Colleen does half of it in 3.5 days, and I do 3.5 days. And we swap around. My station's called Ever Beyond Radio, and Colleen's is called Haggy Shack, just to clear things up. Anyhow, so now we know how we interact. We interact through frequency. We interact by... giving or denying frequencies to each other. You know, Sherry as well. I mean, I know you're probably recording my voice as we speak. So I'll just keep doing a bit more, but I'll ask you the question at the same time. Oh no, you're not going to be listening to me. All right, I see. Yeah, of course. I get you.
I got you.
All right, you got me. Okay, so I can ask you the question now. Yeah. So here's the question is, and can I remember what the question was? Is it possible to, I've completely forgotten where I was going with it. So, it'll come back to me. So what do you have?
Well, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, please, because you might actually get to where I was going, Wynn.
Yeah, I was going to say on your system and on your scale, what is the frequency of love?
It's halfway between C and B, and it's really white light, just slightly into a shade of pink. And it's a note more near B than C, but kind of halfway in between.
And that's exactly the same frequency as my birthday, isn't it? 18th of March.
Yeah,
it's 18th, 19th, 20th of March.
Yes.
The nature of soul is love, baby.
Lynn Horowitz says it's 528, but I've tested that, and that's the frequency of vasopressin, which elevates in your, I have to say this politely, which elevates in your body when there's lust involved.
It's the lust frequency. How interesting that Lynn Horowitz would pick up on that. Anyway, meanwhile, let's not say anything more. But
in my experience, it's a huge difference between love and lust.
Indeed. So what would you say was that? It's that B, that's BC frequency, which, in terms of a kind of middle C frequency, what would that, that's about 254?
I would have to go look it up or bring up a calculator and calculate it.
All right. Okay. C naturally, standard C is 261 and C at 432 is 255. I only happen to know these things because I write calculator programs to do that.
254.24.
There you go, 254.24.
Look how close you were.
Not bad, huh? Not bad. Straight down there.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
I can tell you that JP is a multitasker. His first mode of operation is spontaneously spiritual. Everything that happens to him happens spiritually first. Second is justice, and when he finds something that's out of adjustment, then he goes after it. That is very high. It's sort of double normal for him. And then comes a mixture of information brokering and self-approval, but he has four notes or four colors there. So again, very, very multitasker person. The lowest note he has looks to be his own birth note, B, which says he's finished with his learning and he's now here for other people. Sorry about that.
That's all right. I'm fine. I'm fine with the service that I give because it makes me happy. And I think that's really when people come to you and they ask you to do the thing that you love doing, you know, like Jessica was saying, you know, she just, it's just the way she is and she's brilliant at it. And it serves people. It's beautiful. And, you know, please go by everybody on this. And I think actually, you know, you probably measure everybody on this panel to be in that place that we do what we love and we love what we do. And this is where we want to bring people by acting as models, to model that, that position of being in a place where you're not dependent on the man or one person or one entity for your living or for your well-being or anything like that. You have your own sources of healing. You have your own independent sources of finance. Your bases are covered, basically. And that's where we want everybody to get to. Go ahead.
Your finances are a bit low.
Oh, my finances are always bloody low. That's why I encourage donations and buy my stuff.
Send JP some money, Wall Spirit Radio, now.
Well, it's fine. Yeah, I offer lots in exchange. You know, I do sessions and everything like that. It's just my website has been broken down and I haven't caught up with the backlog of things. And I'm just about doing that right now. I'm just about, you know, able to send out bags of shungite, for instance. And, so I'll be taking callers. That's 1 week off, right? I took 1 week off in September and it's taken me till now to catch up with the backlog of that. God, I'm just so, what's that word? I don't know.
Hard pressed?
Yeah, hard pressed. Poor me. Anyway, look, meanwhile,
Put this in Skype for you. Yep. Can you see how your A&A sharp is twice as big as anything else in your chart?
It's huge.
And that's spontaneous spirituality.
Spontaneous spirituality. There you go. Then that kind of sums up what I'd love to be, what I would have loved to have been. Yeah.
Very widely known for your large A sharp.
Do you want to know what your problems are?
No, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. Because I'm a really private person. But let's not make this a JP reading show. Because we speak a lot. So you can tell me my problems. Tell me all about my problems another time. But just to keep the thing going. So it's doing what we love doing. Getting to the point of doing what we love doing and to stop doing the things that we don't love doing.
But how do you know that? You have to have that divine union with yourself before you can have it with others. And a lot of us are so overlayered by what shoulds and oughts and your parents and your boss and your employees and whatever. I don't see that a lot with you guys, but I see it every day with people who come into the center. They don't know what they ought to be thinking or doing. And without that, they don't have that union with themselves.
Yes, I've seen this a lot as well. And I've also noticed that those same people don't know how to love. They think they have an idea of what it is, but they've never actually really experienced it. And because of that, they don't radiate it. They don't resonate with it. But they feel that they are contented in where they are, because everything physical indicates to them and tells them that they are where they want to be. They've got the nice car, they've got the nice house, they've got the nice job. I've got somebody who's attractive that lives with me, and I'm therefore happy and in love. But actually, no, they have no concept. It's almost as if it's an octave above them.
What? Is it because we only want what we don't think we are or what we don't think we have?
No, I don't think it's that. I think what you're saying, like the peer pressure and the social programming, I think those cause almost circuits within the energetics you're talking, within the spirit, within the mind. I think it causes these loops that mean that there's no ability to reach to the full frequency range, as it were. It's restricting the operation of the person, and the first thing that's lost is the fact they don't have any visibility or sensitivity to what it is they really want to be aiming towards. They feel quite self-content because it's recursive. It's inward looking and inward focusing, but there's actually a bigger reality beyond them that they can't even access because they don't have the frequency.
There was a movie out called The Secret. That said you could have whatever you wanted, but it didn't tell you how to be self-responsible with that. What if it was your neighbor's wife? You know, who gets the choice then? So being able to not only know what you want, but be responsible for what you want, that's an in-step program that goes together.
I'm saying that the way it works in the mind, it's like somebody with vision who's colorblind. It's how can you appreciate what the blue or the green or the red looks like? If you have no way of sensing it, it's as though the artificiality of the energy stream and the frequencies that are imposed on people in the social environment of a city makes them tonally colorblind. They don't know what the real thing is because they have no ability to perceive it directly. So they don't know that they're actually seeing something that is a misrepresentation of what is natural within them.
So, JP, can you make a song that is peace, all the frequencies of peace and love, so people can feel that?
Well, actually, you know, this is something that goes back to the conversation that we had earlier this afternoon, which was, you know, how do we, what's the problems in the world that prevent us from relating, right? And it's, you know, you were saying, well, it's greed. And lots of other people say it's greed that's the problem. And I say, well, greed is the fear of lack. So if we have abundance, then there's no danger of lack. We have to have abundance consciousness as opposed to poverty consciousness or limited consciousness, which is what you're talking about here. And if you're in a city, it's very easy to impose limited consciousness because you're basically in a large prison. You know, there are very few roads in and out. And you know, it's probably another reason why you don't like London Wynn. It's basically the largest open prison in Britain.
The largest open asylum, I think.
Yeah, it doesn't, you know, you don't have to be mad to live in London, but it certainly helps. So we're looking at how do, and so it goes back to how do you stop, is it possible with a frequency to stop someone fearing? There's the question, Chari. And shall we keep that question until the other side of a small break? So. No.
You wanted us to answer that?
After the break. How about that?
People could do their prints. What scares them? And then they could identify it and then fill it in.
Yeah, and I'd like to talk about sound and anti-sound.
Well, there you go. So, here's something.
I have an input also on the love topic, after the break.
Okay, great. Well, we got some stuff. We got some nuggets. Let's, talking of sound, Mariah Carey. I just love her voice, right? I don't know. It might be soppy, but, this is I'll Be There. Welcome back to Ever Beyond. With myself, JP, here on Ever Beyond Radio, broadcast eventually through Wolf Spirit Radio, and there you are all in the chat room, and it's nice to see you all, and here in the call room, we're having great fun. I hope you enjoyed the last track. I love Mariah Carey's voice. It just shivers through my spine kind of voice. So talking of voices, Shari, we were talking earlier before the break about, is it possible to nullify, it's possible to generate fear with frequencies. Is it possible to bring people into a love frequency that's so strong they can't do bad things anymore? Or they don't feel greedy anymore, that people feel abundant. Sorry, I'm just running on. Go ahead.
Don't I wish? And I was trying to do some things this afternoon with greed, with some charts that I was looking at. And I think it depends on what they're greedy about, where the stuff comes in. If somebody's greedy about getting their own way, then you're going to look at CNC sharp. If a male is greedy about sex, you're going to look at FNF sharp. If people are greedy about, I want to talk more than you do, I mean, I think it just depends on that lack of balance that we were talking about before. It's really the balance that makes a leader. And the leader is usually, but not in the case of the U.S. at the moment, it's usually the leader that's the most kind, giving, sharing, open person because they're balanced and they don't have anything that they need to take from somebody else to fill themselves up. So I think that's the piece of it. If you have to take from someone else to fill up yourself, then that's not a balanced perspective. And it's almost like somebody coming and yelling at you about your apples. You know, they wouldn't do that if they had all their apples that they needed. They wouldn't be coming around and bugging you about yours. Did that make sense?
So essentially, we all need the little box that neither of us have invented yet. The one that does the massive fast Fourier transform when you speak into it and then it sings back to you the note. It's like a kind of miniature Shari. You speak to it and it'll sing back the note that you need for the day. And everybody has one. And it constantly recalibrates everybody all day. And everybody's going to be happy then.
What kind of world will that be?
it would be not unpleasant. How about that?
Does have echoes of A Brave New World, though, by Elvis Huxley.
That's true.
There is so much of people saying they want to be happy. And you want to be happy forever? Does that mean you don't want to die? Okay, planets overrun. And everything that's out of balance causes a problem. It's the balance that makes...
Balance is what I wanted to talk about, actually, with anti-noise. You may or may not know, but I've been a lifelong innovator. I've innovated quite some major things, including all the PIN processes you use on your credit and debit cards. I invented those. Renewable energy things, all sorts of things. One thing I invented, which was, I was asked to invent it, was a noise cancellation encoder for digital music. And it worked as a way of identifying whether music had been copied or not. But the point was that it worked by making pulses of noise and then pulses of anti-noise. And it was the imbalance of how things recorded it which identified whether it had been recorded or not. But seeing that, you can see, for instance, you're talking about frequencies that are present in people, and I'm talking about what about the artificial frequencies that are in the background environment. So, for instance, if you look at cities to me are archontic because it represents everything that archons do. They imitate something, they take something natural, make it artificial, and they invert. And so the inversion of frequency, of natural frequency of somebody would be an anti-frequency, a noise cancellation frequency. So I'm wondering how much of the background frequency, the background energy and electronic noise and spiritual and physical noise in the cities actually affects the natural balance of people. If somebody goes in, if you took somebody from outside the city and they're in naturally balanced with their frequencies and themselves, and you put them in that environment, how much of those frequencies that are the inversion of the things that are good and pure in that person are the ones that are going to be cancelled and leave only the discord of the kind of person you see in a city? Do you think that process might be working there?
I think you could write a book on what you just said. Every geometric shape gives a sound. Every color provides a frequency and a sound. The furnace, the piping provides a sound. In New York, there's big signs on some of the building, and it looks like this little stick, fat stick person, you know, but shaped like that, and it's kind of vibrating. It means it's a sick building. And you go in there, and if you're sensitive, you begin to entrain to the frequencies that are there, and it can give you the flu or a cold. So we're thinking about putting kiosks in the subway to see if people will talk to it and see if there's some kind of poison there. Yes, I think people pick up frequencies from other people, from shapes, from certainly from noises, and we are on our way to try to undo that. We try to use unidirectional microphones so it doesn't pick up all the extraneous noise, and we're trying to invent a microphone that will take out everything but a vocal noise, but really the best microphones that work for us are equipment. Not vocal mics. So imagine you go home at night, oh, hello, kitchen, hello, house, how are you? And it says, oh, you need the walls to be orange today. Let's change it to that shade. And, oh, you're lacking in vitamin A. I'll make you some carrot soup. I think we forgot. And in the beginning, when all of these frequencies were bombarding each other together, I think they made us. And when you look at the notes of music in your DNA, A, B, C, D, and you combine them, they begin to make the other notes. So I think somewhere we forgot how to put ourselves back together by way of perfect and whole frequencies. And I've done some literature searching, and I can't find what's going on with this. But there is a sound coming out of your ear called the otoacoustic emission. And if you'll listen to it, it puts your body back into perfect alignment. And I think we forgot how to listen to that silent sound. There's an article on our site called Going into Theta, Using Your Inner Sounds and How to Do It. It's under, in the news, new articles. if people want to go look at it. It's just a couple of pages long, but it teaches you how to block out those other sounds. It teaches you to listen to your internal signature sound that puts you back into stasis, back into perfection. And you'll know when you get there because you do this great big cleansing breath. I hope that answered at least part of your question.
Thank you.
If I may, I'd like to, I really like the difference of thought. And I like your anti-noise concept, Wynn, and Shari, what you mentioned about forgetting and being in harmony. I believe that just as there is, we're born as entities here, come with our baggage, our natural bent, our natural inclination is to be loving and open and innocent for the most part. And as we experience, well, I can only speak for Western society, predominantly Western society, we're taught through different modes of fear to suppress love, fear being sort of the quote-unquote anti-noise to love, as far as I can tell. And I think with that mind programming or that exposure to fear, it breaks down our natural inclination to be open and loving and naive and sort of innocent. And that, I believe, is one of the, whether, there are many schools of thought as to how it's architected or if it's karmic or the part of the yuga we're in. I think, bits and pieces of all of the above. But I believe one of the major reasons, to go back to what you touched on earlier, Wynn, about how some people simply are incapable of loving in an honest way, I believe it's because of the fear or the negative energy that's prevalent that literally drives us away from that frequency. It tells you, okay, you must hate this person for these made up reasons or for these reasons or else, some fearful thing, or you must not love because it makes you weak, or you must not be kind as Jessica and I have observed in the major cities, you walk straight ahead, don't talk, don't smile. I typically, where I work, they're very generous. They bring us food all the time. And at the end of the week, even at the end of the day, there's leftover food that gets thrown out. And I usually take the food out and I find someone that I resonate with, usually a homeless person. Specifically finding a homeless person. I give it to them just because I want to break this energy of the isolated lone wolf mentality, that's in the city. But I think that one of the major, antagonists to love or being able to live naturally in a loving space is due to the fear, whether it be taught, and I do believe a lot of it is taught, whether it be Western models or quote unquote powers that be, architects of our society. I think that is something that definitely needs to be addressed, whether it be anti-noise or, however we want to look at it. And once we can get that, according to what you're saying, Shari, once we can neutralize it, where do we go? How do we then individually in our best way express this loving energy? I'd love to see that.
Well, I think it's brilliant and I think it's wonderful. And I think you really have hit the nail on the head there. And I remember reading once a very interesting concept, I thought, about fear. I mean, I don't suffer from fear. I really don't. It's something I ruled out of my life at a very early age, and I've led a very interesting life at times. I've been in very stressful, dangerous environments. I was once a pilot with the Air Force, for instance, and in that environment, you're getting into a plane every day, and you think, okay, I die today, and you think that every morning, and you'd be surprised that when you came back every night, but you kind of parceled your fears up because they weren't going to be productive in that environment. And that they would only slow you down or distract you. And so they'd lessen your chance of actually surviving. But eventually you suddenly understand what fear is and you think, well, wait a minute. It's not part of me. It's something that's imposed on me and I'm going to reject it. And that's what I did. But I then read some years later, something that just struck me, the resonance of it when I read it was very powerful. And that is from the perspective of the people that were talking about this, they considered that fear was actually a virus. It was a mind virus. and that it was introduced to this planet, and it's not a natural part of this planet. It was simply something that was put there to harvest energy from people, but it was literally a mind virus. And when I looked back at it, I thought, yes, that really is how it operates. It's, I don't think it's a natural part of the makeup. I don't think it's part of that harmonic band of frequency that we're talking about. I think it's something that's been introduced into it artificially. And everything I've seen in life seems to bear that out. And a lot of the very base responses of people who see territoriality, it's all fear-driven and insecurity-driven. Insecurity through fear of how people perceive them, or fear that they may not be how people would expect them to be, or that they don't have the right things, they don't do the right things, or they fear that they have thoughts that people will think will be unpleasant. Or fear is absolutely the bottom of it. And as you say, it is completely the opposite to love. And once I detached fear from my life, then I just became someone who loves openly and just holds a purity of thought and purity of love in all my interactions with anyone. And so, yes, I completely agree with you.
How did you do it?
My mind processes are not normal. Is there any way I can explain this? It's one of those things. Some environments I worked in, for instance, I have a very strong internal visual programming system, in that I actually invent and develop things in my mind, like, as though my mind is a visual computer and a CAD system. It's very similar to the way that the mind of Tesla works. Tesla had some actual mental aberrations which caused this to be extreme in him. But, for instance, if I'm inventing something, I model the entire system in my mind before I try to commit it to a computer program or a computer modeling program. Because of that, I can actually access myself internally in a more direct way than normal people. So, for instance, I have various examples of rapid healing. I started with an eye injury one time when I was training to be a stonemason, bizarrely enough. A piece of stone shattered and scraped the surface of my cornea off, and I wasn't going to be able to see out of that eye for 6 weeks. And this was the first time I tried it. I concluded that, for instance, the placebo effect is the most powerful medical effect there is. And the lady we were talking about earlier that I used to live with, who was a psychic, was not only psychic, telepathic, but telekinetic, and a fantastic healer. And I've actually seen her heal people's broken bones in their arm in seconds, actually manipulate them psychically back into place and cause the body to heal in minutes. And I'd always wondered how that happened. And I concluded that it's actually just an information overlay. It's actually telling the body to do something that it would do naturally itself, apart from the telekinetic part, of course, in that case. And I tested this hypothesis using the internal programming. And yes, so I went from potentially not being able to see for 6 weeks, according to the doctor I saw, to being able to see perfectly in 3 days and have it fully healed, just by prioritizing the natural process in the body and telling the subconscious to action that, prioritize it, take the best template it could find in my genetics to make the replacement, and having quantified exactly what the damage was, which I could see in a mirror with the other good eye. And that was the first time I tried it. And it, repeatedly, I broke three bones in my left hand here. I did those repaired those in 4 days. I dislocated my knee very badly, bizarrely enough, at a sword fighting convention. I was actually in a castle fighting some people with a sword, and I tore my knee out of joint. And I repaired that in less than a week. And so, yes, the my mind doesn't work quite the same way the normal person's does, in that I have a very disciplined internal visual programming method. So I can actually go to parts of my body and my mind and actually generate my own internal program. So, for instance, I have a firewall, mostly against reptilians, which is automatic, that I wrote when I was a teenager, and that still runs. And whenever I see Simon Parks, he finds it amusing because he cannot penetrate my mind. Yes, there's an automatic firewall running, and still is, which he's never seen in a human before, ever. And he's completely perplexed by it. And sometimes he tries to see if I'm distracted, so he can try and get around it, but he still can't. So, yeah, so I might not be a general purpose example of how to do this, but the processes are obviously the same. It's simply internal self-awareness and then a focus of intent into some meaningful way that you and your body and your spirit can interpret into creating the outcome you want.
Jessica, is this what you do for other people? He's doing it through self-talk, but you do this for people?
Well, I just want to say that I would highly recommend that you write down that process and help people with that. That is brilliant. That is really fantastic. And we do have access to change our physical body, to heal more quickly. And that's just brilliant. I love that.
Yeah, the body seems to be on autopilot. It does that anyway. So if it's going to take 6 weeks.
Please write it down.
Yeah. It's a simple thing. And I think there's so much about ourselves we've forgotten and we're relearning now. And I think as we all awaken that we're all tripping over these things and learning them, I think.
This is the time of the gathering, and this is what we're gathering. More information. Please go ahead, Jessica.
To answer your question, Sherry, yes, well, we find creative ways, and actually I have assistance. You know, I do try to connect into the soul's higher guidance, because what's good for me may not be good for them. So I'm just an observer. I'm there to assist. I'm not there to dictate. And I always stay very mindful and sensitive to that. So when I do gather that information, I will assist the process in what is the highest and best way for them to approach a challenge or whatever the illness or whatever the problem is. Although I think what Wynn is doing is just is absolutely fantastic, and there is a method there. It's a way to observe something, to be able to observe it. And we do have this amazing computer system, for lack of better words, because I like this, you know, I don't want to have any connection to cyborgism and anything like that, because we are unique and divine in so many different ways. And I'm very, very blessed that we haven't tapped into all of this stuff. And Wynn is expressing how he was able to go through the process of healing. And I have a son that's in sports. That will help him tremendously. but anyhow, the other part is that we are at we were talking about the whole point of fear earlier, and when a child comes in, they don't understand what the word fear is, because they're not separated from the God source.
Yeah,
they're truly in alignment with everything. And when you're in line with everything, and your heart is pure, and you have that connection, not to say that anyone else's heart isn't pure, but it's fully open. And so there's an absence of fear. And I think that at one time, you know, the human race was created, that we were all in this network and we all trusted each other, because there was no reason to not trust each other. And you know, and somewhere along the line that was broken and then maybe integrated somewhere in the DNA, but as a point of memory, I suppose. But I think that we could consciously shift those things so that we can, you know, similar to what Wynn did, is reprogram our thought process in a way that better suits what we want in our experience. If that answers your question, Sherry.
Well, there's a point of self-talk from the inside. And I think when people can't do it for themselves, then people have the ability, like you, that's just a perfect pairing. I just appreciate people who can be so clear about themselves that they can do it for others.
Yeah.
I'm trying to say I appreciate your talent.
Oh, thank you. I think probably the biggest thing that any psychic medium or anyone that has any type of strong intuitive abilities is learn to get out of the way and not try to frame what you think is best for that person, but allow the information to come through what better suits them. Because like you said, for one person, something might be really good, and for another person, it might not work well for them. And so it's, each individual has a life purpose, and we're not in a position to interfere with that in any way.
I see people like a map, and I'll use the United States. I live in Ohio. And if somebody comes from Washington and tries to be Ohio, Ohio gets really lumpy and Washington is without. So helping people find their place, their state, so to speak. And I think we each have our own divine peace. And the trouble comes when we try to be other people, try to be other people's pieces of the whole. But that's just my opinion.
I agree.
We encourage opinions.
Did we lose
here.
JP?
No, I'm still here. We like your opinion. This is why I asked you on the show. So,
would you define divine union?
Divine union.
You said that's what the.
Define divine.
You said that's what the show's about.
Yeah. Well, it's basically it's the idea of a spirit-driven humanity. You know, not just a single person. You know, we were talking like we're all spirit-driven people. This is how we all want to be. And what brings us down is the debasement of the divine. And that is, you know, as we've been saying before, this is an archonic process that shouldn't really be here. And that we can get on a lot better without it. And in fact, it's the reconnection of the divine union that, is not necessarily just you and your twin flame. There are, you know, there's a lot more to choose from. That's an overlay that there's only one. But that we can work together because we can become a collective. And it's like the new human collective that can make changes like we don't want the Archons here anymore. Bye bye. And in the blink of an eye, they're gone. That's where we can become. Yeah. Go ahead, Ruben.
Well, I mean, if Wynn doesn't have a comment, I'd like to comment.
Oh, sorry, was that you, Michael?
No, that was...
Michael, go ahead.
Go ahead, Michael, and then Wynn, come in after that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I love the point you mentioned about our collective humanity and divine union being more than just a twin flame, and I completely agree. Now it's beautiful and sweet and blessed a thing a soulmate or a twin flame might be. Being, you know, we're moving into the Aquarian age where we're becoming more and more of a collective human consciousness, more and more of a more aware of our collective humanity. And I think we need to strive for divine union beyond just the individual connection, because I feel sometimes people feel that's their ultimate goal, to find a divine partner and their life is complete and they have no obligations. I believe we should go into the mindset of being the divine partner of all of humanity, because we're a part of this whole unit, and there's an effort, I believe, to separate us. And it's very evident in the American election run up. Even now, there are people on many sides of these candidates that are running for president. And they're spent so much time dividing the people, fighting amongst each other, sending barbs and making up stories and whether or not one wants to discuss, you know, who these candidates are, whether or not they're orchestrated puppets, it doesn't matter. There is a distinct effort to divide the hearts and minds of the people one from another. And I think if we could find a way to transcend this and see beyond these divisive tactics and recognize that there is a way to have a divine partnership with someone, even if you don't agree with everything they say, we would shirk, or we would, you know, throw off the shackles of this sort of manipulative system that we live under. I think, if people would actually come together and have open and honest discussion, and this is one of the things that I think, you know, back to what you mentioned, Sherry, how do we fix it? I think we need to start with sort of honest, non-judgmental acceptance of the truth and recognize that even though we are individuals, largely with, you know, societal and community and ancestral teachings and programming, we're really just one people. And if we sit down and openly, honestly, non-judgmentally discuss what it is that we collectively want or individually want, I think there might be a lot more common ground. You know, if we eliminate the fear and the illusion and the projection of what might be, I think, you know, both sides of the aisle or all sides of the building really can come together on common ground and go from there and understand that, okay, we agree on this thing. And from this united view, we can build a whole new world. And then we won't need to have other people telling us what to be afraid of or who to love or how to do it and under what circumstances. That's what I think.
I completely agree, Michael. I agree with every word he said, and I don't think I could have put it any better myself.
Who gets to decide what's right and what's acceptable?
I think your inner compass tells you what's right and what's acceptable. I think if you try to hold a path that's positive, creative, that is expansive, then I think you intuitively know what is correct and what is acceptable. I think one of the biggest problems we have is that people have lost their compass to a large extent.
But they don't even know what it feels like to be comfortable.
I would think that, just real quick, I mean, going back to frequency, if we step outside of fear and we step outside of illusion, then we become, oh wow, there's an emergency vehicle. Thing in my neighborhood.
Fair frequency going by.
Yeah, totally. Some frequencies going on.
Yeah, so sorry about that. There's another one. Wait.
Well, there we go. We're talking about frequency compression of being in a city. And this is one of the things. That sound exactly is the sound that dominates the frequencies of the city in that zone. And it's the thing that makes your shoulders go up and makes your ears cringe, doesn't it?
You have that low grade anxiety.
Yeah. We squeeze ourselves. We hold our breath and squeeze ourselves so that we don't get affected by it. And we hold that for the rest of the day and the rest of our lives.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Now, if I could just really quickly go back to my point and I'll let you move on.
Please.
What I think, for what it's worth, is again, if we can adhere to our native frequency, and it's not just the one, obviously, you know, we're sort of an aggregate of multiple frequencies, and the frequency changes depending on what mood we're in, what we ate today. You know, in an attempt to answer your question, Sherry, what is right in this moment may not be right, you know, 8 hours from now, or may not necessarily be right, or your neighbor. Who decides what's right from what's wrong? I think if we can individually and collectively align with our native frequency, or even better yet, the higher frequency of, you know, the Christ mind or, you know, enlightened mind or whatever you want to call it, then I think individually and collectively we will automatically know what's right and what's not right. I think we're entering that time where that is more and more of a possibility. In the old days, we needed judges and the Moses and the Aaron and people who would tell us what's right and wrong. But I think if we are allowed to find our own way, we will steer our own ship and it will be perfectly harmonious. You know, I guess that's the new coming,
this must be a lesson for my life at this point. You know, this little program that we give away, the Nano Voice, it says right on the front printout that this is freeware in the hopes of providing discussion. And I had a lady get in touch with me, and she had been selling this and got caught at it because it says right on the front that it is free. And she demanded that I change the front page. She said, if you're stupid enough to give it away, I'm smart enough to sell it, and you will change that front page for me. That's the way it's going to work. And it's like, who gets to decide? You know, it's my program. I can give it away if I want. But she became very angry with me because I wouldn't go along with what she thought was right. That is her right to sell what I was freely giving away. That's what I meant by who. How do you discuss that? How do you convince people? Is there any convincing? I think that one little dumb scenario is a lot of the problem in the world, because who gets to choose what's right. Everybody silent on that one.
No, I was going to, somebody dive in. I thought everybody was going to dive in there. No, obviously the problem is that that woman can't see what's right. She has an internal belief of something, but she has nothing to actually base that upon. It's, there is no absolute. There is no guidance. So she has an idea of what she thinks should be correct because she thinks it's good to be greedy and it's good to be deceptive and it's good to try and rip you off. Whereas she has no capability. You can't argue with a person like that. They have absolutely no ability to detect the fact that they are completely unevolved and wrong. And that's what I'm saying about people losing their compass. They, because they haven't got one, then somebody's given them one, which is an artificial one. It's destructive, it's negative, it's divisive. And as Michael said, it's splitting people apart. It's dividing us from who we are and being able to work together to be creative, to be negentropic, to be creational force. And source energy and the higher energy is creational. It's about evolving. It's about uplifting. It's about creation. And what we see in society around us is completely the opposite. It's entropic. It's dystopic. And it's seeing people imploding at a spirit level and at a soul level. They're just trapped in their own prison, which is closing around them. And I see it so clearly in people, especially in the cities.
Well, whose job is it to bring them to enlightenment?
It's their own job. It's their own responsibility. The problem is people have given their own personal responsibility for these things away to a system that is the society around them, and it's willingly taken everything they've given and abused it.
I mean, it's you know, it's, if I may, to me, what the example you just gave is a representation of how programming can reinforce the supremacy of the negative, I suppose, the oppressive system. Because in your giving, you're open-heartedly, innocently giving with a loving intent. And her programming attacks your innocence and your loving gesture because it threatens the program. It threatens her belief. If you can be open, innocent, and giving, then she has no excuse not to be. And so you must change. And I believe the way you think, well, not the way you think. I believe the way we change it, as you say, is not necessarily to program her or deprogram her, but for you to be the strongest, innocent, loving, giving person you can be and not budge, not shift, not capitulate to her attack, thereby showing her that here is a stronger way, here is a better way. And her assault was unable to deter you from who you are. And when she's ready and she's at the level of consciousness and able to accept this lesson, she'll learn it. And if not, she'll reincarnate and learn it later on, I think.
Very well said.
Yeah. I think, unless anyone else is talking, I've dealt with all different types of people because of the type of work that I do, and there are varying degrees of the level of consciousness where a person has a true sensitivity to those around them and not just thinking that they can be deceitful and lying. And there are people that will just, you know, really they're so oblivious and they think they can say all sorts of things and do all sorts of things and not have any responsibility for it. And you can look them right in the eye and I mean, they're fully convinced in that. Whereas that there are many people that, you know, have been burnt or they, not that they're just justifying it, although it could be interpreted that way. When I start to work with a person, I can kind of sift through, you know, where they're at to some degree. And if they're, intention is to always deceive people. They usually don't go to someone who's a psychic and wants to can see through some of it. But if they are in a place where they sort of, you know, they're in that point of like the white lies and the deception and justified because other people have done it to them, And so that puts it back on a person like us, who then can potentially we have the opportunity to further guide them and to look at their situation from another perspective, rather than to be in a place of judgment, but just say, hey, you know, consider this, you know, how that has impacted the other person that you were around, or what your negative attitude, did that give you a positive response? You know, so you have to kind of guide them. For some people, guiding them actually can make a difference, and I've seen people transform into having a better perspective on things, especially when they consider, and I know some people have, it's controversial, but the concept of karma, where, you know, even in this lifetime, they could see a repercussion to a certain action. So I think that we have opportunities to help in a talk show like this. Some of us are practitioners and do different things that help others. And it's a great opportunity to help them and help those that are a little weaker, have had a difficult life but couldn't see through it.
There's sometimes I have to say to people, you're attempting to make your problem my problem, and I don't want to accept that. Because I really feel like if they present you a problem, it's now yours. So it's knowing your own limitations. That was a really hard lesson for me, because I was so open. I'd have an argument with somebody and take their side. So that's been a very, very hard lesson to be able to say no and to know where those limits are.
And how do you know when enough is enough, brothers and sisters?
Lynn already answered that, when you begin to feel uncomfortable.
When you're fed up. You've had enough. So again, sorry.
It's hard.
Yeah. So there's a, so coming back to your frequency thing, you know, somebody may have, like, maybe on a regular basis, like a 20% down on their D, and they just have to meet with a person with a bit of D every so often, and it kind of tops up. Is that the sort of thing that happens? And how do you know when enough is enough in that case?
Well, D is a Gemini, so you could use orange. You could use a lot of Western music, guitar music. A lot of that is in C sharp and D. So find music or colors or people that, as Wynn says, make you feel comfortable, allow you to feel comfortable, and put your spirit there. Use music. You write music in all different kinds of keys, don't you?
Yeah.
So you could write music for people. Their D is down, write them some D music. Now you have to watch left and right brainedness.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's opposites. D is the opposite of G sharp. And if you take the frequency of D and multiply it by the square root of 2, 1.4142, you get G, G sharp. So you have to be careful and just ask people. I was born a Cancer, and that's the color of gold, and it's D sharp. But I love Capricorn. It's exact opposite. And I'll use music in Capricorn, that note of A or that blue of Capricorn. So I'm a right-brained person. So you have to take that into consideration. And that's one of the things that color therapists don't consider, the left and right-brainedness of someone's affinity for numbers or colors. Or if you need orange, you probably like the numbers 18 or 36. So it goes right back to some of the great religions of the world. They all had pieces. It's all come down in pieces. And I think with the invent of the internet, we're bringing all the pieces back together. So if you have that frequency missing, call JP up and say, make me some sounds in this key, and let me see how I feel about it.
Or if you just need to feel the love, tune into Ever Beyond Radio. I've got thousands of archives of me talking. You don't need, but
all of us.
Go on.
All of us have music that makes us feel good. feel better, feel sad. Movies. There is I think it's the Hobbit movie where they're charging across the land and the wizard's on this white horse with this staff. And I swear at that point I can float. It's just such a tremendous thing, or I can move objects, or I'm magic. So it's that music. Find that music in you and keep it with you if that's what you need to pull you back to center, or call up Jessica and she'll help you.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Do you believe, Shari, that just as there's musical therapy, if someone were to, say, manufacture special glasses that shine different colors into your eye, this would give you a similar effect? Or is it not that simple?
Similar, but there are over 15 different sounds, 1,500 different sounds in an octave if you go to 2 decimal points, but you can't possibly have 1,500 different colors and shades of glasses. But you can get close. There are Evelyn Early has some glasses, and there's just some on the market. And get a hallway, and don't put any thing on the side, just a hallway. Put on the glasses, and if you can walk a straight line with those glasses on, that's probably the color that you need. Like, mine is orange, so I know it's that note of D again. Some people would be the note of E, so that's yellow. There's charts on our site that people can download, and they're all free. So it's just that soundhealthoptions.com thing. There's a ton of videos and classes and charts and software for people who've been poisoned with radiation and that nano thing, and we're doing anti-aging and giving away that software. So we're just trying to make it possible for people to be aware of frequencies and how that relates to their body and their universe. And we believe that if people balance themselves, become in divine union with themselves, then the next person they meet doesn't have to dance that dance. They can just meet people on equal footing. And if this person balances, then the next neighbor doesn't, and then the next city. So starts with self. Starts with divine union with self. And I don't know that any of us ever get there. We can just hope and try. Well, maybe that's not true, because I had a friend who walked out of her car to her car after a meditation and spontaneously combusted and just died in the parking lot. And wow. I think she transcended. It was kind of awesome. She was one of those, such a graceful person. Angelic, that's what she was. So if we ever get to perfection, we won't be here anyway.
That's what they call ascension, isn't it?
Yeah, and I go back to everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die to get there.
But there's some of us who forego ascension to come back to help the rest of us, you know?
Yeah.
Any of us?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just waiting for everybody to get on the bus. Get on the bus. Wake up and get on the bus. Brush your teeth. Put your shoes and socks on. Get on the bus.
My meditation for each day is to allow this day to be for the benefit of all concerned. And that makes me happy. Even if it's not what I wanted in the beginning of the day, I'm very satisfied and happy at the end that I was able to make a difference. And I'm getting up there in age, so I think age has something to do with that, too. You just look at the world a bit different. I expected somebody to ask me.
Well, you know, it's not about your age. It's about your wisdom and openness, and that your heart is open to humanity. And everyone around you, and that's what makes your vibration, your frequency, even like as I'm listening to it, it's pleasant. You know, people that have a lot of, as we talked about fear earlier, and some of the other frequencies that are not as lovely, It's not them that's not lovely. It's the energy of in the emotion that they're carrying and the sincerity and the openness in heart and the true caring for humanity is something that everyone resonates with. They pick it up. That's why these people who are very evolved and they come here and they're doing the work to help others. You know, I can name a whole bunch of them, whether it's the Christ energy or Martin Luther King or, I don't know. I mean, I'm just at a loss for words. Maybe Gandhi or, the Dalai Lama. And you just feel that love, right? So you just feel in that love and that's a frequency and vibration. And there's nothing repelling in it. And people wonder, well, why is it that I'm not attracting people? Well, think about what you're feeling at that moment. And that's that frequency that people are trying to avoid in their own lives. And they're not really attracted to it with anyone else. And to, continue to work on clearing that. But if you want to reach people, you keep your heart open. And it doesn't mean that you're perfect, but, it's something that's contagious and people will be drawn to.
I think there's a little bit of people being mixed up in that if you take the masses, they all want to be alike, wear the same name on their butt and carry the same purse, but all their heroes are one of a kind. And it really takes courage to be one of a kind. I don't know what else. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think they're being corralled. It's because the society gives them the concept of what they think they want to be. They don't take responsibility themselves to realize who they are and express themselves as who they are.
Well, I think those in charge doesn't want anybody to be out of the line.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Because you step into your own power when you take responsibility for yourself.
I was just going to say that most of the time it's beaten out of most people. And it's traumatized out of everybody. And the levels of trauma and, you know, this is the another thing about the vaccinations. This is why they're trying to vaccinate everybody, because it'll weaken people. So they can't resist the mind control that is they're saying, you know, the reason that you want to buy this particular pair of jeans this summer is because we say so. And everybody goes, yeah, of course. How many pairs do I need to have to be popular and sexy, as you say? Exactly. And it's debasing. It's debasing to the divine male and it's debasing to the divine female. In our dying 3-4 minutes, nuggets, my brothers and sisters, that's all we got. We all got time for nuggets.
Okay, well, I'll throw my nugget into the pan then.
Okay, in reverse alphabetical order then. Go on,
Yeah, well, touching on the things Michael was saying about twin flames, as anybody who tuned into the last time I was on JP's station will know that having a twin flame isn't a smooth ride at all. And that can cause you just as much difficulty as anybody else. And to that extent, I'd like to say that, yes, I've learned a lot in these last few weeks, thanks to my twin flame. And I'd also like to say thank you to my old friend Jules, who was a huge help in going through that, and my lovely friend Maria, who've both been instrumental in helping me to work through that. So thank you. We advance and we learn. And I think certainly something that reached out and touched a lot of people around the world, and I think we all learned from it. So, thank you, people. Thank you.
Marvellous. Thank you. Thank you very much, Wynne, and thanks to was that Jules and...
Yeah, that's Jules and Maria.
Jules and Maria. There we go. Thank you very much.
Thanks to both those lovely people.
There you go. And then Wynne did Sherry next.
I just want to leave people with the idea that it all from within. If you come home tired and you're slopped down on the couch and you're so fatigued you can't move, and they come to your door with a $1 million check and you get all excited, all of that comes from within. And remember that. And if you want to do something, you will. And if you don't want to do it, any excuse will do. And take responsibility from that, inside out.
Thank you, Sherry. And from a very busy, busy New York City, Michael.
Yeah, well, you know, my background noise, sorry. Yeah, my, you know, constant belief is we need to wake up from the distractification, you know, stop watching the sports every day, stop chasing the latest pop star I mean, these are good things in your own way, but, you know, focus on what's going on with your neighbor, what's going on in your neighborhood, your community, with people. And you know, we're all tired of the war, the division, the anger, the hate. Let's find a way to go beyond that and find a way to respect, love, and commune with our divine compartment, or, you know, I guess I should say our divine brother or sister in and around us. That's what I'd like to say.
And finally, Jessica.
Thanks.
Thank you. Jessica.
Well, if I were to leave everyone with, you know, love is the most powerful of all emotions and feelings and vibrations. And it's very easy to be in a non-loving state of mind and a world that doesn't feel very loving. But when we step back and start to look at things a little differently, and we begin with ourselves, we can't begin with other people. We can't fix everyone else because that's their free will and they're exercising that on their own, but we can fix ourselves. And by doing that, we can, you know, be in a place where we healed, we're in forgiveness, we're released anxiety and stress, and, start enjoying life, and you begin attracting those that, you know, appreciate who you are for what you bring. And also, those that don't have what you have are going to find it alluring. They're going to find it, very, very interesting that you can live in a place of serenity in a very unstable situation around you. So, you know, start from within. And I think that will be the place where it starts to expand out into the rest of the world.
Jessica, thank you very much. Jessica. And now going back in reverse, and going back in alpha, Jessica and Michael and Sherry and Wynn, it's been a very lovely spiraling upwards, inspiring 2 hours. Thank you very much, everybody. And stay tuned. We're going to do meditations and healings with the Frank Jordan and the world, the Frank Jordan. Yeah, the Frank Jordan. And the World Healers Group. Until that time, here's this. Good night, everybody. Beyond.